So we're at Luke 4, Jesus' first sermon. So to recap where we are and what has happened first before this, last week we talked about Zechariah and Zechariah in the temple with the angel Gabriel telling Zechariah that John was going to be born. John the Baptist. And so we're skipping all over John's ministry. It's important. He prepared the way for Jesus. And that's, if you're taking notes, there's that first blank. I think that's a blank. It is. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. If you want to interact that way, I'll keep you awake and give you some stuff. All these words that are on the left-hand column are the beginning of sentences. And so if you want to fill in the rest. So recapping. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. He spent some years in the wilderness, teaching, telling people to repent, and baptizing. Crazy character, John, but we're not going to focus on him much. The next thing that happened in the book of Luke, Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. So Jesus came to John and was baptized, and immediately after being baptized, Jesus went to the desert, and Jesus was tempted in the wilderness by Satan. And now, with this passage that we see here, now Jesus begins his public ministry in Nazareth, Galilee. So now Jesus begins his public ministry. And this starts here with this sermon. First words of Jesus' sermon. I love these. Can you imagine brand new guy on the scene? The first words, so not including the scripture, the first words he says in his first sermon are, the scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. Those things that were prophesied, those are about me. That's how Jesus starts his preaching ministry. So we need to go back from verse 21 and see what was Jesus talking about when he says, these are the things that were prophesied about me. So we go back to the scroll of Isaiah that was handed to Jesus when he came to teach there on that Saturday in the synagogue. Isaiah 61, verses 1 and 2 say this, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives will be released and prisoners be freed. He has sent me to tell those who mourn that the time of the Lord's favor has come, and with it, the day of God's anger against their enemies. Jesus skipped that last part when he quoted scripture. These phrases come from both Isaiah 61, 1 and 2, and then also there's a phrase from Isaiah 58, and he puts them together. But I think it's really interesting that he skips that last part. That with it, the day of God's anger against Israel's enemies. Jesus skips it and says, today, in your hearing, this passage has been fulfilled. So the very first words of Jesus' sermon, the scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled. Amazing. And the inset paragraph that you have, these are the different components of that quotation that Jesus says, this is who I am. This is what my ministry is going to look like. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. That's the next line, starting with the. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. The word Trinity doesn't exist in the Bible, but here is one of those few places where we get all persons of the Trinity there in one verse. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. This is what Jesus is saying. Holy Spirit, God the Father, that's, notice in your, if your Bible does it, it's got the L and then the capital, but little capital O-R-D. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Trinity fully present in the person of Jesus. For he has anointed me, is the next line. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me. The word anointed in Greek sounds like Christos. In Hebrew, it sounds like Messiah. It's the same root word, either in Greek or in Hebrew. The word Messiah and anointed are the same thing. So here Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and made me Christ or Messiah. The anointed one, this is a way of denoting God's calling and equipping of leaders in the Old Testament. Prophets, priests, kings were anointed. But here Jesus is saying that the Holy Spirit has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. I think it's interesting that the first people that Jesus singles out, that Isaiah singled out, were not the powerful, were not the rich, were not the influential, were not the good Jews necessarily. People for whom this good news is, the poor. It's another theme that we see through the Gospel of Luke. In the Bible that I'm reading, the New Living Translation, that capitalizes good and news, some sort of something special about it. One of the first Bibles I had, I don't know if it's still back there on the table, was a Good News Bible. Is that the one that Tom has? Yeah, that was. I think I got that Bible in fifth grade. There's a presentation page in the front if you want to check that out. Pictures. Are there pictures? Yeah. Fantastic. Oh, yeah. Nice. Good news. This is the word euangelion in Greek. It's where we get the word evangelism. Evangel, the good news. Good news to the poor. I've heard it said that if our Christianity looks anything like Jesus's, it needs to bring good news to the poor. First thing that Jesus says, to bring good news to the poor. Next, he has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released. Originally, in Isaiah's time, this was thinking about exile. That exiled Israel, Judah, would be returned. That they would go out from their time in exile, in captivity, and they would come back to the promised land. And now when Jesus talks about it, things change. It can be, yes, those also in captivity, but also now those captive to sin. Those captive to demons can be set free. So Jesus says, the Holy Spirit has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see. That the blind will see, and this is literally as well as metaphorically. In Jesus' ministry, one of the most common healings that he does, restoring sight to the blind. And he does it differently every time. But it's also not just physical sight that's restored, But those with spiritual blindness will be given new sight as well. I think of Nicodemus in John's Gospel, not in Luke's. One of the teachers of Israel comes to Jesus by night and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life? What does that look like?" And Jesus says, "You're a teacher of Israel and you don't even know? Here, let me show you." And his eyes are opened and he sees in new ways. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free." The oppressed, the downtrodden, the possessed, those people who weren't involved in society, those people, like in the next chapter that we get to see Levi being called. Although he was wealthy, he was oppressed. I think of the woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. To the woman who had been stooped over for 18 years, these people being oppressed, Jesus says they will be set free. And that the time of the Lord's favor has come, or the year of the Lord's favor, the year of Jubilee. Originally, this referred to the year of Jubilee that happened every 50 years when debts were canceled. When land that was given returns back to its owner, debts were canceled, slaves were set free. The year of the Lord's favor has come. It also refers to and applies to the eschatological freedom that comes, eschatological end times. So that in the presence of Jesus, this new order that's not fully here yet is in breaking into the world, that the year of the Lord's favor has come. The tense there happens to be present perfect. It means that the action has been completed and it has ramifications going forward. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." Jesus reads this passage from Isaiah and says, "Today, in your hearing, this has been fulfilled." There are some beautifully Lucan notes to this passage. When Jesus receives the scroll, and he opens the scroll, he actually uses a medical term for opening, used nowhere else in the New Testament. This word where Luke opens, it's not normally the word you would use to open a scroll or open a book. It's a medical term. And the opposite is used in the closing, also used only here, and it's a medical term. Another reason that I think Luke really is who Luke says he is, a doctor who has paid particular attention to the details, to the content. I believe this is God's word, and I believe it happened this way. That Jesus went back home after having a radical experience with God in the desert, being tested by Satan. Before that, Jesus had submitted to baptism by John. And when he gets up out of the water, there's the voice from heaven. "This is my beloved Son." Before that, the angels, the announcements, all these things. But it comes to this, and as Jesus starts his ministry, the word that's used for when he found it, it's using a text in English, or a tense in Greek that we don't have in English. It's a middle tense, which it's not really active and it's not really passive. It's normally it was found or Jesus found, but it's somewhere in between. It was the passage kind of appeared to him. So he was working and it came to him. I believe it was God's design throughout the history of the world that when Jesus started his ministry, he started with this. I don't know if it was the lectionary reading for the day. This is where it was supposed to be. But this was the right text. And Jesus found this text, picking up this beautiful prophecy of Isaiah, so related to what the Messiah was going to be and what the Messiah was going to do. But here in particular, we see the things that we'll get to see throughout the rest of Luke. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. If you read to the end of the chapter, even to the end of the section, you know it doesn't go particularly well, because people say, wait a second, this is Jesus' hometown. Isn't this Joseph's boy? How can he say that these things are going to come true? But he will show them who he is and that really he's not Joseph's son. He was raised by Joseph. But the things that we see, even starting another dozen verses below, Jesus starts casting out demons, calling followers, healing the sick. We see these things happen. These are the things that I want the table to be based on. This is what Jesus said his ministry looks like. These are the things that we need to be doing. What we are doing needs to be good news to the poor. For those who are captives, captive to sin, to addictions, we need to bring them release in the person of Jesus. We need to make sure that we are seeking out the blind and returning their sight. Seeking out those who are oppressed and downtrodden, lightening their load, setting them free, and letting people know that the year of the Lord's favor is here. It's now, it started with Jesus and it continues to today. I want to be a part of a church like that. One thing that we have in the idea category that has not yet come to fulfillment is any sort of outreach ministry. Right now, the table consists of this. You need to know that this will not always be it. If this is all it's going to be, I will not be its pastor. We need to make sure that we are reaching out. And ideally to those who would never come as members, because we're going out and serving and loving in the name of Jesus. If they come, that'd be great. But that's not why we do it. It's not just recruiting, but it's loving and serving. I think it's interesting. Later on in the chapter, later on in Luke, when John is in prison, and he's despairing. And he says, sends his disciples to ask Jesus, so are you the one? Or should we wait for another? This man who was sold out, who knew Jesus before he was born. And Jesus responds with some of these things. You go back and you tell John, the captives are being released, that the blind are receiving sight. These are the hallmarks of my ministry. And it starts here. And it needs to be continued through the Church of Jesus Christ today. Lord God, thank you for these words. As simple as they are, as repeated as they are, help us to see as we read throughout the book how these are manifest in your ministry. And Lord God, we also pray that you would give us eyes to see how we can make them manifest in our ministry so that we can take your name, that we can be called Christians because our priorities look like yours. So again, God, we thank you for this text, and we thank you for the opportunity to study it together. Amen.